2CC Richard Perno podcast.
You've got me today, Luke. You've got me over a barrel today. Now
I hope not.
Well, you kind of have, because the other stuff we can talk about, like wills and probates and the like, but now we've got asset allocation and risk profile.
Yep.
I know I'm the latter all every day of my life, but what is asset allocation?
So asset allocation is just the composition of the assets that you have inside your fund. So people accumulate money inside super.
How do you accumulate money inside super?
Well, we've been talking about how we can put different contributions in over the last couple of weeks. So asset allocation is just about managing how you diversify your fund, how you allocate money. Do I have some in bucket A, some in bucket B, some in bucket C, and some in bucket D?
What would those buckets be?
They could be various sectors. So they could be Australian equities, they could be property, it could be international allocations, it could be fixed interest, it could be cash, it could be alternative investments. So there are a range of ways that people can try and spread the risk. Like most of our parents said when we were kids, don't have all your eggs in one basket. What this is putting multiple eggs in the basket so that if something goes sideways, up, down, or indifferent, not everything that you have is impacted by either positive or negative changes in the economy.
How do you make that happen?
Well, it's about making a selection and deciding what is right for you. So it's important that people understand what is in their fund.
Right.
Okay, so depending on the fund that you're with, it will have either a range of options or you can create your own. And it's very important. We see very often that people come in and say, I have a balanced option inside my fund. Now, for me, balanced means like a seesaw. I think like a seesaw, 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
50% cash and fixed interest, 50% growth assets. Now, depending on what fund you're in and what their profile is, you might actually find that you've got 60, 70, 80% growth assets under the balanced heading. So asset allocation is the percentage of your total wealth in different sectors. Okay? Now, we see this one a lot where someone will come in and say, I'm in the ABC fund.
Right.
And I'm in the balanced option. And then we can show them, well, this is the composition of that fund. And they might learn that they have a very high allocation to international investments or Australian equities or property. So that for me, I bring it back to a seesaw. 50-50 keeps us balanced.
Right.
85-15, not so balanced. So when we're watching the ads and we hear the compare the pair, we need to make sure that we understand what we're comparing.
Now, when you get your statement from your super fund, it usually just has, this is how much you've got in the super.
Yep.
That's all it says.
Yeah, and most good funds would actually have a breakdown of the investment option that you've chosen. Okay,
so, but if you go into an employer who's got a particular fund, all it does is just says, this is how much you've got in the fund, this is how much you've got in life insurance.
Yep.
End of story.
Generally speaking, if you're an employer fund, there'll be a default option selected, which is generally the balanced option. But I think when people are looking at the way that their fund is performing and comparing it to other funds, you need to understand how fast you're driving the car. Now, I use that analogy a lot because I find people can relate to it, and this is how it goes. If I'm driving down a road and the speed limit's 80 and I drive at 40, what would happen? There'd be a procession of people behind you. They'd probably be a little bit emotional. They'd probably be hurling some abuse at you, and you'd probably be late to your appointment.
And not getting where you should go.
Correct.
Where you should be going.
However, if we drove down that same 80-kilometre road and we were doing 160...
Watch out for the blue and red lights.
There's some blue and red lights. There's probably a tick, and if you hit a tree, you may or may not get out of the car. Now, if we're doing 40 in an 80 zone, we can liken that to cash and fixed interest. It has a purpose, but in isolation, it can be dangerous. If we're doing 170 in an 80 zone and something goes wrong, there could be some serious complications. Now, I say to people, well, do you want to drive that fast? They go, well, no. How fast do you drive? And they say to you in general, well, if I could drive between 70 and 90, I'm going to avoid being late and I'm going to avoid
trouble,
not earning anything. And I'm also going to avoid things blowing up. So we try and find analogies that people can relate to. And I find that one's a really good one to try and understand asset allocation and risk profiling, because it is a fairly foreign term. And it is a little sort of overwhelming for some people because it's not something that you sit down and talk about over your cornflakes.
No, and it's not real appetizing, is it?
No, exactly.
Pretty hard cash, but it is your money.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And that's where I guess it's very important that people understand what they actually have, because what they think is balanced may actually not be balanced. It's important that when the wheels fall off, okay, and I'm not saying they're going to, but, you know, Trump does something, someone shoots a rocket and something happens, and you've got large allocations in individual sectors that you may not be aware of. I don't think you can get too upset because you haven't taken the interest in finding out what you've got.
That's it, isn't it? That's it. But if your superannuation just sends you a booklet that hypes up the super, and it usually does, a nice big thick booklet, and this is what you've got, and this is how much you've got in super, and that's all, what do you do?
Well, I think you need to...
Contact the super fund.
Well, you can... a lot of the funds have fairly thorough websites, and you can spend your Friday nights after a couple of coronas scrolling through, you know, what's actually under the hood. I think a lot of people don't show a lot of interest. I think a lot of people leave it too late. And as I say every week here, people come in and say, oh, I wish I knew that 5 years ago. Well, understanding, I guess what we've been talking about over the last few weeks is, how do I get it in? How do I maximise it? But also now, how do I look to try and understand it? So if people can actually look at their fund and say, well, I'm in this option, I'm in that option, not only am I working out what it costs me, but also how fast am I actually driving the car? Because you may actually be driving a lot quicker than you realise.
How does asset allocation, this balanced stuff, as you call it, Luke, impact your planning?
Well, I think it's about understanding what the individual needs. And I guess there's a misconception out there. A lot of people come in and say, well, I'm older now, I need to be conservative. And my answer to that is, well, don't you need good income? And they say, oh, well, yes, I need that too. So understanding your asset allocation then has a direct impact on the things that you can hold and the percentage of your fund that you'll put into different areas. That can then have a direct correlation to the amount of income that's generated and the amount of growth that you can achieve over time.
Yeah, okay. How do you say, I want this in that part of the balanced equation?
Well,
I want to put this amount.
Exactly.
Yeah, how do you determine?
Well, most funds will let you, depending on the fund you're in, this then comes back to saying, well, what sort of fund have I got?
Sure.
Some funds allow you to have that choice, some funds don't. Some funds will let you have 5 things to choose from, some funds will let you have 500 things to choose from. So again, it comes back to the discussions we've had, and next week we're talking about fees and charges, so it ties in with this topic, because most things in life, you get what you pay for.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Because if I said to you, look, I've got an SLK 500 Mercedes outside and you can have it for 20 grand, first thing you probably say to me is, well, what's wrong with it?
Where'd you get it?
Exactly right. Super funds are very, very similar.
You haven't got an SLK.
If you pay nothing, you probably get very few choices.
All right, let's recap on what we've learned so far.
Well, look, I think you've got to understand what you're trying to achieve. You need to really get a feeler or a handle on what you're holding and what your true risk profile is, and that's a process, because there are ways to mitigate risk that people may or may not be aware of that they think about in the broader, I guess, context of how their funds are invested. How are your funds diversified? If you've got one investment in your fund and it's balanced and something happens to that one fund...
You're done.
Maybe, maybe not. So think about spreading that risk and targeting different sectors. And then obviously make sure you don't have all your eggs in one basket. Because in life, as we know, most of the time when you do that, it's tears for everybody.
It is to Envision Financial's financial planner, Luke Smith, and you can call him now. You were just talking about risk.
Yes.
What do you mean? I mean, risk is crossing Hoskin Street in the middle of the day. Is that the kind of risk you're talking about?
Yes, exactly. Well, risk is obviously, if we talk about asset allocation, a risk profile is how you feel about your own risk aversion.
Right. What does that mean?
It means if I'm a high-risk individual, I'll have an increased allocation to growth assets. So my asset allocation would be growth-focused.
And what would make you a high-risk individual?
Tolerance to volatility, time, good cash flow,
right?
Whether the assets are important or not. So if that's just some fun money on the side, you can take a few more risks. If it's I've got to eat this week, probably not. So understanding how you feel about risk when things go pear-shaped is very, very important, because I think one of the biggest takeouts from the GFC was a lot of people don't truly understand their risk profile.
You're right.
They don't want to miss out on making money, but they also don't want to ride the lightning when things are going south.
And then sometimes you should take a risk to maximise what you have?
Well, I think it's about controlled risk. I think it's about looking at what proportion of risk. So asset allocation is the breakup. Think about a pie. How many slices in the pie? The risk profile is, okay, how do we control those slices?
Yeah.
And that's where the one overlays to the other. Because you can have a conservative risk profile, which means we have more of a cash orientation. We can have an aggressive risk profile, which means we have more Australian equities and international investments, for example. Or we can have a nice, happy, balanced growth sort of profile in the middle where we have a mix of everything so that if any one area goes pear-shaped...
Bang, it won't impact on the others, as you said at
exactly
the start
right.
of the conversation.
Exactly.
Look,
right.
how do you know your risk?
Well, I think it's part of getting to understand the broader picture. Mm. So we spend a lot of time talking to people about, well, what if this happened? How would you feel? And what if this happened? How would you feel?
You're talking about wiggle room?
Oh, look, wiggle room, I think it's about trying to understand both short-term, medium-term and long-term because different things allow you to then break up the portfolio into different areas. Because if you need income, then don't buy growth assets. If you need growth,
say that again.
Don't buy income assets.
If you need income, don't buy
growth assets.
Growth assets. Right.
Growth assets. Yeah,
okay.
That's right. So if you international assets, for example, historically have always provided a large proportion of their total return in capital growth.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if we buy CBA shares or Wesfarmers shares or an Australian equity, then they give us a higher proportion of income and capital. So it's about understanding where your return is coming from, not just how much is my return.
Right.
Because when you retire, a lot of people say to me, I need two things. I need good, strong income because that's going to pay my pension and fund my lifestyle, and I need some growth to offset inflation. It's a bit like saying, if you bought an investment property, would you rent it? And people say, of course.
Mm.
But you wouldn't buy an investment property and not rent it. And they go, well, no, I need the income.
Yeah.
Super's no different.
Yeah.
So conceptually, if you're working towards retirement, you're building the asset base from which you can draw an income stream, and your risk profile will say, okay, if we're in an 80 zone, am I happy driving at 120 and the risks that come with that? If so, great. If I'd rather drive at 40 because, I'm scared I'm going to crash into the curb, both of them come with different sorts of risk, both positive and negative, and it's understanding what's right for the individual that people need to work through.
So we're looking at asset allocation and risks. They're the two main ingredients this afternoon, aren't
they? Well, asset allocation is the breakup of your fund, and then the risk profile is how your asset allocation is broken up. Okay, so one is what sector, the other one is how do you feel, how fast do you want to drive the car?
Sure. Now, if your statement, as I said at the start of our conversation, Luke Smith, arrives and all it has on it is the amount of money you've got in your super and perhaps a sidebar of a whole of life or death policy or something, you can dig in and find out where all these pockets of
goodies
are.
You'll be able to go to your fund website and request the asset allocation or the investment information. Because
they have to give it to you?
Well, it's not they have to give it to you. It's open. It's freely available information. So, you'll be able to go to the website of your fund and click on, select the profile that you're in that's on your statement and then understand, okay, well, how fast am I driving?
Mm.
And what people want to look for is, what are my growth assets? Okay, now growth assets could be property, unlisted property, Australian equities, international, okay, or alternative investments. And then on the defensive side, on the fixed interest side, you've got cash, fixed interest, both domestic and international.
Mm.
So understanding what you're in, that's your first step. Then lifting up the hood and having a look behind the curtain to say, well, have I got 30% Australian equities or 20% Australian equities? Have I got 20% international or 40% international? Because that's then going to say, well, how does that tie into how I feel about risk and how fast I'm happy to drive the car in an 80 zone?
Yeah. A couple of things always spring to mind, Luke, when we talk, and that is keep control of your super, know what's in your super, and make sure you can manipulate your super to the best of your advantage.
Well, I think I speak with people all the time, and a lot of people come in, and I generally think people leave it too late because they don't know what they're paying, they don't know what they're exposed to. And I had a case earlier this week where there was a $70,000 to $80,000 cash flow difference on an annual basis that somebody was looking at, and when it was pointed out to them, they went, I can move that there, have that there, and do that. Well, let's go.
Let's do it.
Your beauty.
That's it.
You know,
all right, so also set your asset allocation.
That's right, yeah. Okay. Understand your risk profile and then set your asset allocation accordingly.
Okay.
How fast do I want to drive the car, and then what am I going to do with it?
Yeah. And when you've allocated all that to the different pockets or buckets, as they say, can you move it around again?
Yep. Look, it's completely flexible. Right. Again, depending on the fund you're in and the quality of the options that you have, you might have 3 or 4 options, you might have 500.
Yeah.
So it pays to know what you're working with. As I say to some clients of mine that work in the medical field, if I gave you a roll of Band-Aids and some sticky tape, can you do everything you need to do in a day? And they go, well, no, I need A, B, C, D, and E.
That's right. Yeah, there you go. Acronym of the week, ETF.
ETF, Exchange Traded Fund. So this is just a pool of assets that target a specific sector. They're generally very, very cost effective and a very good way to try and manage your asset allocation and your risk profile. So, for example, you could go and buy the entire ASX 200, the biggest 200 companies on the ASX, 0.18%. And next week we're talking about fees and charges, and this is where it starts to get juicy because everybody loves a saving. So an ETF is a really good way to target a specific area, get some good income, manage your franking credits, but overall get some good diversification to complement other assets that you have as part of your risk profile.
And if you want a real hands-on experience, real-life examples and strategies, a six-week course coming up with Envision, a range of topics, knowledge centre access to, you can go online to envisionfinancial.com.au/events. The event is coming. This is your opportunity to have a one-on-one with Luke Smith, find out what you're doing and what you're doing not.
Yeah, that's right. Look, we've had a huge response from last week's talking about super splitting.
Yeah.
And I say to the viewers out, the listeners out there, if you didn't know that,
what else
are you missing out on?
Yeah,
so
that's it.
6 weeks, you know, we can have a red, I'll find some cheese, and we can throw around some real life scenarios that will be directly related to, you know, what you need, not just the theory, but we can then break down in small groups, okay, what do you got? What do we need?
One-on-one.
And we can drill through it.
6260-4749. Go online to envisionfinancial.com.au/events and you can quiz this guy, our financial planner, Luke Smith. Enjoy your weekend.
You too, mate.